Hi, and welcome to Pete's Pub. I'm your host, Pete Kemmerer. This is episode 4, released on Sunday, July 13th, 2025, and I'm really glad to be with you today. This week, I have the pleasure of interviewing Sean Semmel, founding member and drummer for Midsummer, a really interesting band in the Lehigh Valley, PA area that features original music. Sean and I talk about how we met, the origins of Midsummer, the difficulties of not being primarily a cover band, the Lehigh Valley music scene, and more. After the interview, stay tuned for the full version of their original song, Crashing Walls. I hope you enjoy the episode. You can reach me at peter.kemmerer@gmail.com with your feedback, or if you want to, contribute to the show's content in any way, whether you have a favorite recipe, drink, joke, story, cause that you support, or would like to be a guest on an upcoming show, hit me up. The theme music for Pete's Pub is Hard Fought Victory by Chris Martin and Jeff Harvey at www.purple-planet.com. Please follow or subscribe to Pete's Pub wherever you get your podcasts. Until next Sunday, always remember, if you can be a bass player, be one. If not, date or marry one. Thanks for joining me and have a great day. And now, without further ado, Sean Semmel from Midsummer. Sean Semmel, drummer extraordinaire and sound engineering guru, welcome to Pete's Pub.
Hello.
Good to see you again. Hey, do you remember how and where we met?
Oh my God. Well, that would have been at, I would have to say probably Jabberjaws, maybe about 3-4 years ago. We were doing an event, a diabetes event, and that was the first time I met y'all, and I was playing with the headlining act there.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that was it's surprising. It was only 2 years ago. Seems like forever.
Holy cow, that was only 2 years ago. Yeah, it does feel like forever ago. Wow.
Yeah, in April, I remember that, and I had just joined Burn, and then we jumped right in and did, I guess, about 4 songs for her mom's diabetes benefit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, man, I like that place. I had never been there.
It's a shame. You know, yeah. Well, actually, you know what? To be fair and honest, that was my first time there, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, I knew that Ed and Marianne owned the place. And, you know, Ed's a really, really old friend of mine. And we just never, like, I never had any reason to go over there, I guess. And then he asked me if I wanted to come do a diabetes benefit. And that was the very first time I was there too.
Wow. Yeah. And yeah. I had like weird expectations about the place, 'cause I didn't know anything about it. It's like, oh yeah, it's this dive biker bar in the middle of Allentown. And then you get up there and it's like, everybody's so cool and everyone's having a good time. And it's
very
like
chill,
real, almost kitschy inside with some of the stuff. And they have a great, they had a great stage.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the times that I spent up there. So how long have you been playing drums, Sean?
Well, let's see. So, oh, God, this could be I would say about 36, 38 years.
Yeah.
Thereabouts. I started when I was in fifth grade, and I am now 54. So that's a long haul.
Yeah. Did you play out a lot back in the day? Were you in a lot of bands?
Well, so I started out in elementary school. That didn't really, you know, pan out to anything. And of course, on to middle school, which then this will blow your mind. My mom got me involved with the Mummers. So I started playing with the Mummers band in sixth grade, I guess it was, in about sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, I played in this Mummers band. We did, some parades and stuff like that, and a couple shows out in the park and stuff like that. So that's kind of like where it kind of like took off, so to speak, I guess, if you would want to say it that way. And then that's kind of where I met my guitar player. Is I was just kind of jamming out on the porch one day, and along he came by, I think this seventh grade maybe. And then that's kind of where we linked up and kind of took off from there. So I guess for Midsummer, my band, I guess it would be almost 30, 35 years, I guess. It would be, yeah. It was a long haul.
So how do you view the local music scene in Lehigh Valley these days?
These days? Oh, man. It's a real bummer right now. You know, I mean, since COVID, I think the Lehigh Valley kind of really, like, went downhill. You know, if you're not, well, it's starting to improve, I could say. As for my type of material, not so much. If you're in a cover band, you could play pretty much anywhere you want. You know, if you're a Jesse's Girl band, you're going to go places in the Lehigh Valley. But as an original band, it's not so many places. That, you know, COVID kind of ruined that aspect. But we do, you know, Midsummer, obviously, we have to do cover songs to stay in the scene. Otherwise, we'll just get booed out of the audience or booed off the stage. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how it's like being a band that does some original music in a relative sea of cover and tribute bands out there.
It's really hard. So I give the fans that we have a whole lot of respect because they're sticking through it and they're really helping out because, you know, the crowd sees them into it. So it kind of like, it really helps. So you get some action that way too. We're just trying to saturate it. We're trying to saturate the Valley as much as we can, you know, whether they know about us or not, we're just in people's face. I'm on social media constantly. We're putting stuff out constantly. We're giving CDs away. We're giving stickers away, hats and t-shirts. I mean, I've given away so much merchandise. I can't even count how much money we've given away just to promote it. And that's the only way you're really going to get out there. You know, nobody knows who you are until you put yourself in there. You know?
It's true. I mean, if it were just up to you, how many times a year would you play out?
If it was up to me,
yep.
I would at least once a month. I would like month. That's comfortable. You know, we all got day jobs too. You know, we're not, you know, our anticipation of being rock stars these days are,
right.
You know, those days are over. So, but I would love to be playing out once a month, but finding gigs right now is a little difficult.
Yeah.
Just because it's all original material.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the beginning of your band Midsummer and what you set out wanting it to be.
Let's see, back at the beginning. Of course, well, you know, I was still in school and you know, I was for sure that I was going to be a rock star. Who wouldn't think that they were going to, you know, go all the way to the top? But, you know, this band has been in and out of, I don't know how to say it. We've had our ups and downs. Let's put it that way. You know, each one of the members of the band, we've had our own battles in life and such. So we've taken many breaks. That started, you know, we started this all the way back in the late 80s. And then, you know, through the 90s, we played a lot. We were just a three piece. And it was easier scheduling wise for three people versus now we have five people. We kind of group a lot. Having five people, the scheduling conflicts are just, you know, out of control.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we all have families now.
But you and your guitarist, Joe, were right there at the beginning, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to say we grew up together, you know, because we went to school. We went to the same high school and all. And we got it started that way. And we had some high school fans. I don't know about how many of them are left out there, but some of them are still follow us on social media, which I have a lot of respect for.
Was the goal always to make an album? You did an EP now called, which is curiously titled, Tales of the Time Traveler Volume 2.
Okay, so, well, we wanted to leave it a mystery. There is a Volume 1, but we recorded that at a recording studio called Menagerie Recording Studio. It was up in Sailorsburg, Pennsylvania. And we did that back in 1998, I believe. The place is no longer there, of course. I don't even think the guy is still alive anymore. But we recorded it there. It was a six-song EP. We did release it. We did try to sell the CD, and that's when cassettes were cool. So we were even selling cassettes. But then we knew that that really didn't get as much exposure as we were hoping for. So we just kind of left that like a mystery. Well, it's going to be volume one. Now we look back and we're like, well, that's going to be volume one. And when we recorded this, me and Joe were like, so, what should we call it? And I'm like, well, we went through a whole lot of changes in the band. We're talking like almost what, 10, 15 years later, we went back in time, took our stuff from like 20, 30 years ago, and we're making it new again. So we're kind of like we're going through time. We're traveling through time to today's, to today with the music that's that old. So that's kind of where we came up with the idea of the time traveler, and then we just called it conveniently Volume Two. And then the next time we're going to be going in the recording studio in the fall, and we're hoping to go back. Well, we're starting to work on it now. We're going to go back to which will be volume one, and we're going to re-record it all and then re-release it.
Got you. How would you describe the sound of Midsummer?
Definitely different. I don't know who you could actually compare our material to. I think if I had to describe it, I would say it's kind of Smashing Pumpkins meets Stone Temple Pilots. Or Goo Goo Dolls. There you go. That's a good example. If you put like all three of those together, I think you would have the sound of Midsummer. So we kind of stand apart from a lot of the other original bands that are in the Lehigh Valley.
I got one for you. When I was listening to the song Human, one of the bands that came right to my mind was Starcastle.
Oh, wow.
Starcastle,
Jeez.
a progressive band from way back when. And I think a lot of that was to do with the vocals and the way that Jamie, your bass player, locked in with you and with your keyboard player, Frank, on that song. And
Nice.
it was kind of proggy.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it because I secretly love prog rock, and well, not so
Yeah,
secretly. But anyway, yeah, it is different. It's not something you can just jam into a category. It's interesting, and it's fun to listen to.
I think that's kind of why the sound engineer over at Spectre Sound called it prog rock. Maybe he had the same ideas, because we're in the studio going like, I don't even know what the heck our music sounds like. Like, what do we tell people that we sound like? So we're like, hey Jim, what do you think this music sounds like? He goes, oh, it's totally prog rock. And we're like, really? We're prog rock?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we're going with it, guys. We're prog rock now.
There's definitely a little prog in there, and it's a good thing. So tell me a little bit about the songwriting process. I mean, you've got one, two, three, four, five songs on the EP. How do you actually put those together with five people?
Well, so we are currently trying to write some new material that doesn't have anything to do with the old Midsummer. We're trying to move forward in a different direction, which we're finding it kind of difficult, because when it was just three of us, just me, Joe, and a bass player, Joe was on main vocals and I do background. Then it was simple. He'd come up with a chord progression. I would like, let's see if this drum beat would work for it. And then the bass player just kind of bloom, before you know it, we have a song. That's simple as it gets. Now we're finding it with five people. It's definitely a totally different animal. Even though all of our influences musically are vastly different. We all have some very eclectic music background. So it is making our stuff very interesting sounding, but we're finding it's very challenging. For the most part, it'll be Joe coming up with guitar licks, and we'll just kind of like slowly expand on it. Now, the recording process itself, me and Joe kind of we get here sometimes at my place. We have a bunch of recording equipment here, and he brings over a laptop. We got he's got a recording software on his computer, similar to like what big recording studios have. We're just kind of like we got the dumbed down version of it. So we'll come up with stuff here, and then he'll go home, he'll mix it down and put like a regular basic baseline to it, just to kind of like give it, you know, make it full. And then we present it to the band, and then we see what kind of ideas that they have. And then we just kind of sort of, you know, expand on it.
Gotcha.
Which has been working.
Tell me a little bit about the new members of the band since the old days. I mean, like Ben Youngerman, your vocalist. Where'd you find Ben?
Well, Joe, in his infinite wisdom, was at a hockey game one night over at the Phantoms Arena in Pennsylvania here at Allentown. And so he seen this guy doing the Star Spangled Banner, out singing out in the ice, and it really blew his mind. And then later on, he finds out that he's the announcer of the Phantoms. And then, like a stalker, Joe followed him through the parking lot and said, "Hey, man, how would you like to be in a band?" And Ben was, of course, "Sure, why not?" I think he thought it was kind of a joke until we got Ben here at my house in my little tiny mini recording studio. And we heard him belt these notes out, and me and Joe were just like, "Good Lord, you know, that's it. This is our guy."
And Jamie Fury, you're a bass player?
Jamie. So I was, during our many hiatuses with Midsummer, even though we were here recording some stuff here at my house, I went out on an audition. I wanted to go audition for a band. I seen them on Facebook. I'm like, let me go try these guys. I've never tried being in a punk band before. I thought I'd give it a try. Why not? So I went to this audition. I ended up at this recording studio up in the mountain. That's where I met Jamie for the first time. And this band that I went to audition for, I didn't really have a whole lot of hope for it. But I'm like, you know what? I'm not a quitter. So I thought I'd go back for a second audition. And after the second audition, you know, I was pretty sure it wasn't going to go anywhere. So I said to Jamie, I said, "Hey, you know, would you want to try some other different type of material?" She's like, "Well, what kind of other material?" I was like, "Well, I call it rock and roll. If you want to give me your number, I'll send you over some stuff." And, you know, that night, you know, I'm sending her a bunch of like really old Midsummer stuff like that didn't really even sound good. She's like, "Yeah, I could give it a shot." And then, you know, again, we brought her over here to my little studio, and, you know, we started, you know, working with her. And I think she had her doubts because when she left, she just kind of like didn't have that. She didn't have that, "Yeah, here we go," vibe with her. So, you know, we asked her how you felt about it. "Would you come back again?" And then she did. And she came back firing with all cylinders, and she really like made an impact. And like from there, I knew that, you know, that was my bass player.
Yeah. Well, as a bass player, I can tell you, she fits the music really well. I was really impressed with the kind of fills that she does. She knows when to play. She knows when to not play. She's locked in with you very well. She locks in with Frank really well on the stuff that has more keyboards. The two of them sound really good together. That Dingwall bass of hers is dynamite.
Yeah, she's a beast with that.
Yeah, and I think she fits the music really well, and it really helps drive it all along.
So Joe asked me, he's like, "What do you think about having some keyboards?" I'm like, "Well, Midsummer with keyboards? Like, I don't know about that." I was like, "I never thought I'd hear my music with keyboards," and I'm like, "Well, it could be interesting." He goes, "Well, I'll send this guy Frank I know some stuff." Joe played with Frank in two different bands, the Prisms and some other local band that he was playing in at the time. And when Joe sent me like a message, he goes, "Well, Frank is really into it," and I'm like, "Okay, well, let's hear this." So then we booked some recording studio time just for practice reasons. And that's where I met Frank for the first time. And I'm like, "Oh no." I was like, "This here we go." I was like, I never thought I'd hear it. And like, how's he even going to know like what to do? Because like our stuff never had keyboards. I'm like, I'm really nervous, Joe. And then he just started playing and I'm like, what? I mean, like how is he doing that to this music? He flawlessly put piano in the back of like our most challenging songs.
Yeah.
And he did it with like, without even like trying. He looked like he wasn't even trying.
Yeah. You can tell he's a real musician. I mean, he listens to the songs and he came up with some really good complimentary sounds for your music. Similar to what Jamie did. I mean, Jamie came up with some complimentary bass lines and everything kind of just meshes together well. I really enjoyed listening to it.
Well, for Jamie, you know, we luckily had stuff that was already kind of pre-written that she was able to just cut, copy and paste make improvements to, you know, because that was Joe, you know, writing bass lines. You know, because we didn't have a bass, player at the time.
Yeah.
It was just me and Joe here doing recordings.
Well, and she really she executes it really well. It just fits nicely, and I like the fact that she's a little bit up in the mix, which is good, and it helps buoy the songs really nicely. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
So what's next for Midsummer? You say you're gonna work on these new songs, get them written, or What's the story for the summer? You're going to write new songs? You're going to work on the Volume 1 stuff and try to get that up to date and on a disc?
Both. We're currently writing new material that's not already written.
Okay.
And we're also working on stuff that we did back in the 90s, you know? So that's going to be Volume 1. We are booking recording studio time in, for late fall, early winter. And that's where we're going to put Volume 1 together. And in the meantime, we've got with a video production crew, and they're going to be making a full-blown video for the very first song on that disc that you're holding.
Yeah, and I can't wait for that. With your permission, Sean, when we're done with the interview, I want to play us out with Crashing Walls.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
All right,
fantastic.
Cool.
That's going to be the video. I mean, I've never thought in a million years that I would have like a full production video made for this band. Like these people are like ecstatic. Like they keep sending us all their ideas and you know what they're expecting to see. And like, I don't know, I'm like talking to Joe. I'm like, is this for real? You know, is this really going to happen? Are we really? Yeah. So it's pretty cool. You know, I can't wait for it to happen.
You're actually doing this, you know?
Yeah, we're really doing it. And, you know, while we're doing all of this, that, and the other thing, we're slowly going to try to book shows for the next year. So this year was just kind of like, you know, rip the Band-Aid off and get this really old band out into the public. And we did very well. We did, like, what, 6 shows, I guess it was. We even got the chance to play at the PPL Center, which was really cool. That kind of like gave us that boost of confidence. You know, hopefully next year we're going to get into Mayfair and the Music Fest and whatever other music festivals we can find outdoors. That's kind of the direction that I want to go with these guys.
Well, that was my next question. Are you going to be playing out anymore this year? So you're really looking at next year for
we do have
dates.
We do have one more set up for this year. It's some festival in Bushkill Park in Easton, I think. It's September September 8th, I believe it is. It's a Saturday.
People can find that right on Facebook or other social media?
Yeah, if they're looking us up on Facebook, we are called Midsummer PA. We had to add the PA part because, you know, well, first of all, we are from PA and there's other Midsummer that are tagged out there, but you know, we have the copyrights to the name, so there you go.
Thanks so much for joining us, Sean. I'm excited about Midsummer. I really did enjoy the album, and I'm kind of picky about what I listen to, and
nice, thank you very much.
You're one of a couple of local bands that plays original music that I really dig it. I mean, hopefully I come see you at Bushkill Park over there in Easton.
Nice.
You have a great day, and thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate you having me.